Okay, I'm going to call the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. The time is 3:45. And with us today is Senator Wilson, Senator Giesel, Senator Egan, and I do expect Senator Coghill here shortly. So today we're just going to have an overview presentation by the Director of Elections, and we're fortunate to have the Director here, Josie Bonick, and Lori Wilson as well. So welcome, and if there's nothing come before the committee, I'm going to go ahead and let you get started. I apologize for starting a little late here, Director, but and Senator Coghill has joined us. So we have the full complement of committee members. So the floor is yours, Director.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you so much for having us here today and the opportunity to bring awareness to the activities of the division, some technology accomplishments that we've made, and also looking at the future and the future of elections in Alaska. So I'm excited for you all to be able to, for one, take the time today.
Director, I'm sorry. Could you introduce yourself or put yourself on the record and your affiliation? That's okay. We're informal here.
For the record, my name is Josie Bankey. I'm the Director of Elections.
Great, thank you.
But really eager for you to learn about some of the activities that we've been doing, what we're doing to prepare for 2018 election cycle and beyond. So I do have Lori Wilson here. You want to introduce yourself?
Good afternoon. Is that on?
Yep.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Lori Wilson, and I'm the Region 1 Election Supervisor here in Juneau.
Go ahead.
Okay. So to begin with some of our modernization accomplishments we've done in the last few years, we implemented a new voter registration system in November of 2015. Our election and management system that we refer to as VREMS. We like acronyms for our systems. And we use it, it's our bread and butter. We use it for registering voters, election management processes, post-election, pre-election, redistricting, street management, everything that we do besides creating the ballot we do in this system. And our old system was 20 years old and on a mainframe database, and this one is on a PC web-based database, so it's a lot more current. We can use the technology to do more things now. The new system has allowed us to process voter registration and election management with more efficiency and provided us with the necessary technology needed to also move forward with more efficiencies with improved voter registration and election management processes. Our users continually make recommendations for enhancements to the new system as we identify efficiencies and other opportunities and ways that we can utilize the new system. One of those ways that we've done, that we've made improvements to, is we also allowed or have given our clerks a new role, user role, in our new system. They had it in our old system, but our new system is more user-friendly, and they've really enjoyed the benefits of that.
Ms. Wilson, the mm-hmm. Director, is it okay if we take questions as we go?
Sure.
Okay. Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about, you said this is a web-based hosted. Is this hosted through another party vendor out of state, in state, is it state hosted web-based program?
It was developed by a vendor that we had a contract with, but our staff, our IT staff, are the folks that help maintain the security of it and that sort of thing, and they work with the vendor on enhancements and development. And we we utilize the website, the URL, from within our offices and where we need to utilize it. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, so this, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not an IT expert, so.
No, you're fine. It sounds like the state of Alaska does host the site within our own capabilities, and we just use a vendor for support as upgrade as needed then.
I believe that's correct, Senator Wilson.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Continue.
Okay. Through our voter registration system, our new system, we were able to also bring online our online voter registration system, which we also lovingly refer to as Oliver. This is another acronym. Voters can utilize the system to register online or update their voter registration. We also implemented this part of the system in November of 2015. In order to use the online voter registration system, an individual would have to have a current Alaska driver's license on file or state ID on file with DMV. And folks that don't have those things, they can also still register by using a wizard form through the paper process from this link as well. Through the DMV validation process, our system does a handshake, so to speak, with our system, and that's where we are able to grab the signature from the DMV record and bring it on to the voter side of the file. Voter registrations are updated. That's how the signature is brought over, because we require a signature for voter registration and updates to addresses and things like that. Through the Oliver system, to date, we've had 52,021 voters use the system. So that's really cut down on the amount of paper applications that we process, and it's brought a lot of efficiency to our offices as well. The other part of our process that we've been able to utilize is the electronic transfer of voter registration applications through the DMV. In the past, we had to wait till we received paper applications from DMV because they serve as a registrar, and it would take a while to get paper applications. So now, through the electronic transfer, we are able to receive nightly batches of voter registrations from the DMV offices around the state, which also has cut down significantly on paper applications. And to date, we've received 67,929 registrations through this electronic DMV transfer. Part of the other modernization accomplishments with this new system is that we're able to provide a My Voter information page on our website. This is also a web-based portal that voters can look up their own information based on certain criteria that they enter into the system. The My Voter information provides information on the status of their voter registration or the status of their absentee application if they applied for an absentee ballot. It can help them track those where their absentee ballot is in the process. The portal also allows a voter to see the address information and political party affiliation that is maintained on their voter registration. And it provides the voters assigned precinct and polling place, so it's also linked from their residence address to Google Map, so it can provide direction to the voter's polling location. And as you're aware, I'm sure, the PFD voter registration law that was passed by the voters in November 8, 2016, through ballot measure 1 was effective March 1, 2017. And so we've been working with PFD on implementing this new law and the processes of gathering that information from the PFD application side to the voter registration side. The division's first round of implementation was from March 1st to March 30 applicants for 2017. And so this is our full year PFD application period that the law has been in effect. So the PFD applicants who applied from January 1st to March 31st, 2018, were part of the new PFD automatic voter registration process. And for our combined totals for 2018, just to let you know kind of what we sent out as far as the opt-out mailer notices, we sent out 141,144 mailers to voters that were part of this PFD process, and 98,000 of those were to existing voters, and 36,000 of those were to potentially new voters. One of the other accomplishments that we've brought on board in the last couple of years is our participation through the Electronic Registration Information Center, which we also refer to as ERIC. ERIC is a multi-state partnership that was formed with the assistance of the Pew Charitable Trust Foundation, and it's a nonprofit organization that is governed and managed by states who are members of the ERIC. ERIC has a sole mission to assist states to improve the accuracy of America's voter rolls and increase access to the voter registration for all eligible citizens. The inspiration to create ARIC came from the states due to challenges in maintaining accuracy of voter registration records, and through participation in ARIC, states can compare official data on eligible voters to keep voter rolls more complete and up to date. So we still utilize our annual list maintenance process, which we're required to do under the federal law, but now we also participate in ARIC, which is another resource for us to utilize more, to compare more data in cleaning up our voter rolls.
We have a question from Senator Coggins. Mm-hmm.
So because we have such a large military movement in Alaska, has this helped you purge those numbers faster, or have you seen a significant change in looking at a variety of states?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, we're still in the early stages of implementation and working with ARIC. So the first statistics that we have we've looked at show us on duplicate records that we had duplicate voter registration records, 76 we were able to identify. We were able to identify over 600 deceased voters that were still on our voter registration rolls, but I do not have statistics on any type of military moves. Is that what you're talking about, moves, military moves?
Military moves would be primary, mm-hmm. but Alaska has a very fluid population, mm-hmm. and my expectation is now that you're hooked up with the permanent fund, my guess is the search under ARIC for inappropriate voter registrations for those who stated their residence of Alaska. So, I mean, it's going to be, I would imagine there'd be a crosstab on it. Is that can be cross-checked on that?
We can do some double checking on how that will work, but I also want to, through the chair, Senator Coghill, that the statute, as I'm sure you're aware, allows a voter to maintain their residence address in Alaska and maintain their voter registration here as long as they don't register to vote in another state. And the law does not define that period of intent. So a voter, military voters can be away from the state and still maintain their resident or their voter registration in Alaska. So what ARIC, I believe, would help us do is if a military voter moved across state within the state of Alaska or to another state and registered to vote or had DMV records there, we could do a cross-check that way.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I think that's going to be an important factor. That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Something else that the division has worked on over the last year is we want to always improve our election worker training program that we have. We take feedback from our election workers and folks that we work with through the election cycle on how we can better train our election officials. And so we formed a group within our staff to improve training, and we've developed new training outlines for our trainers who go around and train all of our election officials. We also contracted with at 360 North or KTOO to help us produce new election worker training videos, which also incorporate a new section on language assistance for our workers. And that's just in its final stages.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
So this will be stood up as we move into this next election cycle, is what you're saying?
It'll be through the chair, Senator Coghill, that it will be utilized. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yes. And so we still will do in-person training where it's required and a combination of various sources, but we're trying to improve on what we already do.
It'd be my guess, because of the last general election, some of the questions that came up, that you're going to be very alert, and so are other people. So.
Yes. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Josie Banke, Director of Elections. The next slide, thank you, Lori, for that update. The next slide is statewide election review, election policy work group. And in 2015, Lieutenant Governor convened a small working group and expanded it in 2017 to discuss election policy issues and to continue a dialogue on making Alaska's election system as cost-effective, efficient, and accessible as possible. And so following, in May 2017, the division authored a report outlining some of our fiscal and policy challenges and looked at election administration issues, also cost-saving measures, that the division had identified. And so in an effort to address those issues and make and advance those discussions, this group came together and have met five times in the past year. Their next meeting is in next Wednesday afternoon in Anchorage. And so throughout the course of the year, again, they've convened five meetings, and these discussions have been facilitated by David Becker from the Center for Election Innovation and Research. And so it's a diverse group. We've got former lieutenant governors, Fran Ulmer, Craig Campbell, Mead Treadwell. We have on the Senate side, Senator Stevens is, represents this body, and on the House side, Representative Christ Tompkins is there. We have borough city clerks all throughout the state. We have other voting advocacy groups, the League of Women Voters, the U.S. Postal Service, other state staff, and so it's very diverse and continues to grow as folks are identified and interested in participating. So really during its first meeting, the group had identified that and agreed that really the replacement of the state's 20-year-old voting system was the top priority. And so they established some guiding principles to kind of guide its work and their recommendations. So maximize accessibility, elections should be accessible to all Alaskans regardless of their circumstances. And if it doesn't work for rural Alaska, it doesn't work at all. And that was kind of the mantra that the group had come up with early on in their work. Cost effectiveness, costs must be contained in order to abide by state budgetary constraints, as you know. Voter satisfaction and confidence. Longevity in the solution. You know, we've had our existing system for 20 years. It's been a very reliable and accurate system, but time to replace it. Coordination and buy-in, looking for local government and other stakeholders, tribal governments, to kind of agree on changes, any changes made to the system, that nobody should be left out of that. Security and integrity. That any system must be designed with security integrity, and voters alike must trust in the systems that are used. And lastly, voter outreach, that our voters need to know how to interact with Alaska elections, and outreach needs to be tailored to get them the information that they need. So in addition to establishing those guiding principles, the group looked at voting trends, and just to give you an idea here on this graphic up on the board, in the 2016 general election, we had 321,271 ballots cast for a final turnout of 60.77% statewide turnout. So this election generated a record number of voters who voted early, absentee or question ballots. And to give you a comparison, in 2016, we had 123,000 voters vote early or absentee, compared to about 90,000 in 2014. So approximately 32% of Alaskans voted via an alternative method in 2016. That's a record number of voters for Alaska, around 40,000. Voted early at regional office stations, and how we've responded to that for 2018 is we've expanded sites in the different regions. We'll have early voting in Soldotna, Palmer, at both universities in Anchorage and Fairbanks for the general election. We'll have all 40 ballots there. And was there another one?
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
So our verification accuracy has stayed fairly good with these new system approaches? Because they've been ramping up, but the verification process is still sound? Who is voting is a registered voter, is what I'm asking.
Verification of the voters.
Yeah.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Coghill, we do have verification in process. At our early voting stations, we offer two methods of voting. There's early voting where the voter is actually looked up on the voter record, their information is verified, and then if they don't have any changes to their record, we allow them to early vote, which is a live ballot, and it gets dropped into the ballot box without review. At those locations, we also have absentee in-person voting that still takes place in case an individual has to update their residence or their name has a name change, and they haven't done that yet with the division. We allow them to vote that process because those need to go through review.
Mr. Chairman, just for those who feel like they can go from precinct to precinct and vote, you know, and try to game the system. Is there a way that that unique identifier is tagged?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, up to a certain point before election day and before we have to send out our precinct registers, those registers are marked if someone has already voted. If they voted early, then it says indicates that on the precinct register. So if that individual came in to vote, the worker would see on their register that they've already voted, and would, if the voter still insists on voting, they would instruct them to vote a question ballot so it would be secured and reviewed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. For the record, Josie Banky, Director of Elections. So in addition to looking at voting trends, another factor at play and something that the Election Policy Work Group acknowledges that the municipality of Anchorage was going to be conducting and now has conducted their municipal election entirely by mail, invested in the infrastructure to vote by mail, with approximately 40% of our voters going to vote by mail, you know, kind of what are we looking at for the future? So so there are three different scenarios that the Election Policy Work Group has been exploring and will continue to explore. And the first one is to keep voting the way that Alaskans are now, to keep a precinct-based system, 441 precincts on Election Day, with a combination of absentee and early voting, as it is now. Under this scenario, no statutory or procedural changes would need to be considered for the division. It would just be simply an outright purchase of $6.77 million plus $489,000 annual license and warranty. And that was a discussion quote that our current vendor had provided us. No, it's not set in stone, but that was a ballpark to replace our existing system. The second scenario, ballots are mailed to Alaskan voters and would have 2 to 3 weeks to complete and mail back. Currently, there are three other states, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, that use vote by mail exclusively. Another 22 states allow certain but not all elections to be conducted entirely by mail, including Alaska. So our division conducts some of the rural education attendance area elections by mail, as well as special elections for incorporation, local liquor option elections. So existing law does allow for some elections to be, but not exclusively by mail. And even though the division has not conducted a full cost analysis of an all-by-mail system, we would anticipate, you know, conducting elections in this fashion we would realize a cost savings. And that's just, for instance, you know, mailing out a ballot package to every registered voter would be a lot less expensive than recruiting and training, staffing polling places, and then polling place rental and
shipping costs and equipment.
Shipping costs is a big cost, and supplying the polling place. Would also eliminate vote by mail. Would also eliminate the type of human error inherent in polling place voting, and could increase voter convenience, like we've seen in Anchorage. But I think the group also recognized that an entirely vote by mail system may be unacceptable due to some of the challenges in rural Alaska with mail service, and also for the divisions required through the the NVRA Section 203 to provide language assistance. So certainly we would need to continue to comply with Section 203 and provide that assistance.
Director, Senator Wilson has a question, and Senator Giesel. Go ahead, Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you. So you said similarly, Anchorage, they're going to have a cost savings and by their mail, all-mail voting system, but they actually had quite a drastic increase in their costs. How will the state differ in that same sort of realizing of cost savings that Anchorage also presumed that they had?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, that's a great question. I think the biggest cost was their cost to purchase equipment and the infrastructure needed to conduct the election. And in the past, the state has provided that equipment. Municipalities have used the state's equipment, so they haven't had that cost, right? So I think that's important to point out that that was, a one-time cost that to take into consideration.
Anything else? Okay, Senator Giesel.
So I'm going to follow up on that. It was more than $500,000 more to run that election in Anchorage, $68 per vote. So they had approximately 79,000 cards cast in that election. Clearly, you'll be talking about multiple of that. And you still believe this will be a cost savings?
Through the chair, Senator Geisel?
Is that doesn't matter.
Geisel? I know
sorry.
Who you're talking
I apologize,
Geisel. Don't worry. Some of the other states that we've looked at, like Colorado, Washington, and Oregon, have showed a decreased cost per voter in a by-mail election. We're not looking at that's one option that the group is looking at, right? There's other options that we can look at. But the Anchorage, a lot of the municipalities have, like the director said, have borrowed the state's equipment. And so the state has always incurred those original costs of the purchasing the system, providing the location, the the storage, the annual maintenance, those kinds of things that the municipality of Anchorage ended up, because they were kind of the leader in that new system, ended up incurring a lot of those first-time costs. So while we'll be doing more in-depth cost analysis on whichever one of the systems is recommended from the board, those costs will be looked at. But I know that we've seen reports on Colorado and California and Washington where they've seen a decrease cost per voter in all by-mail elections.
So when you say potential cost savings, that's a speculative statement on your part?
But based on the information that we've looked at, we've seen other states have cost reductions on all by mail. So based on those, yes, we are making an estimate. We are making an assumption that if those states have also realized this cost savings, that Alaska would too. But like Josie said, we haven't done a full cost analysis yet.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Continue, please.
For the record, Josie Banke, Director of Elections. Just lastly on this slide, wanted to point out that the outright purchase, the discussion quote we received from our vendor would be $2.1 million and $181,000 annual license warranty fees. The third scenario is the modern hybrid voting system, and under this system, all voters would receive a ballot by mail, but you'd have options for returning it. You could mail it in or drop it off at a local vote center that is open 1 to 2 weeks before Election Day. Like in Anchorage, they had 5 vote centers where folks could receive assistance or be issued a new ballot if they had lost theirs. Kind of a similar ballot delivery system as Anchorage under the scenario. You could vote in person. If a voter fails to receive a ballot or loses it, they could go to the vote center and get a new one, cast it before or on Election Day. jurisdictions. We did do a fact-finding trip, and jurisdictions like the state of Colorado and Denver County have experienced many benefits since switching to this new hybrid system, cost savings being one of them in their situation, increased voter satisfaction, decreased labor requirements and training. And so I think as a result of this fact-finding trip to Colorado and that Senator Stevens was on with us, the group determined that once tailored to Alaska's unique voting challenges, a hybrid system could be a viable option to deliver results for Alaskans at a lower cost. But they also determined that further research was must be conducted to gauge that viability, and especially focused in rural areas was their concern. So
Okay,
I think this
I was going to say we have a question from Senator Wilson.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Director Bick, you mentioned earlier that several different municipalities use the state's equipment. Do you have a ballpark figure of how many municipalities currently use the state of Alaska's election equipment?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, I could probably tell you the municipalities that don't use our system. There's only a handful of those, which would be Sitka, Ketchikan.
Ketchikan has a through the chair, Senator Wilson, there are a small number of communities in Alaska. Some of the smaller ones that do hand counting don't utilize our system for their own elections, but the majority of the larger municipalities throughout KPB, Ketchikan, bought some of their own new units because they're kind of tired. Some of the clerks are tired of waiting for the state to get new equipment, so they've had to move forward and buy some of their own just for temporary purposes. But Ketchikan uses some of our equipment. Kodiak uses our equipment. I believe the Fairbanks North Star Borough, mm-hmm. I think, uses our equipment. Municipality of Anchorage did use our equipment. And I believe the Matsu Borough, I think, used our equipment. So quite a number of the large municipalities.
Right. Go ahead. For mm-hmm. follow-up. And so this is something that is just given in kind to these municipalities, or do they lease them out, or how is that?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, we have a lot of agreements. The clerks help us in a lot of different areas, like through absentee voting in their city offices and different ways that we have that we share election responsibilities. And so, for instance, for me, I oversee the KPB state elections there, and the borough clerk there stores the AccuVote units for me there in her office and maintains the charging of the batteries every quarter and that sort of thing. So that saves us a lot of cost in shipping equipment that many more times if it's stored there. So in a lot of those places, we have reciprocal agreements or exchanges that we do so that we share that equipment.
Yeah, if I could, yeah, go ahead. And that leads me to my question, would be if the state were to outright and purchase, let's say, a all mail-in voting system or a hybrid system, this would impact all municipalities across the state then. Would they either have the option of either purchasing your old equipment, or how would the state thus go and train? Is that all worked into that cost? Because I see that whole cost shifting, and a lot of municipalities could be knocking on our doors sort of saying, please don't change.
Okay. Through the chair, Senator Wilson, a lot of the clerks are on our election policy work group, so they're having these discussions with us as well as far as getting new equipment. They've been eager for the state to purchase new equipment for a long time because they know that it's an aging system, and they are anxious to know which direction the state is going to go. And some of those locations that do hand count still probably won't change, but those municipalities that use our optical scan units will either go the same direction that the state is going, hopefully, or that they will choose to do that, or they will have to consider another alternative for their borough or for their municipality.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continue, please.
Right, thank you. For the record, Josie Banky. So just a last note on this slide and the previous one, statutory and procedural changes would need to be considered under both of these scenarios, which would require legislative approval. And so I just wanted to point that out. The outright purchase would be the same under this hybrid system, the 2.1 purchase plus $181,000 annual, plus the cost of vote centers. So, you know, municipalities, and as Lori mentioned, working closely with municipalities, you know, helping to determine what those would look like should this be the recommendation of the election policy work group. You know, in Juneau, I don't know if you'd need or how many you would need, but certainly we would work with the clerk here at the City Borough of Juneau to establish what those would look like. And knowing that the municipality of Anchorage, we've worked very closely with them. You know, they just completed their first election, and we're doing a full debriefing with them on Monday to talk about what worked well, what didn't work well. Hopefully that'll inform us what some of their challenges were and to learn from that. So steps forward. As I mentioned, the next meeting is on Wednesday, May 9th in Anchorage. So steps forward, looking at the division partnered with University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research, ICER, to conduct a study on behalf of the division to registered voters in the Kuzilvac, Bethel, and Dillingham areas. And they just completed that survey yesterday. And the survey asked voters to weigh in on alternative voting methods, their perceptions of mail service in rural Alaska, and any barriers in voting. And so our target of the survey was 400. We completed 408. So we're busy putting those findings together for the work group next week. And hopefully a report will be released by the end of May. To complement the survey, the division hosted focus groups in Bethel a week before last. With our UPIC interpreter, we held group-style meetings with the elders, the youth, and had questions aimed at facilitating a similar discussion about the pros and cons, any concerns around the current voting methods, and proposed all by mail and the hybrid system. And we did get a report late last week from the focus groups, and really informative, and made us think maybe we have more than three options to consider. So taking a closer look at that. The purpose of this meeting and my meeting with Senator Meyer the other day was to invite you and your staff to join us for a technology showcase in Anchorage next week. We invited all federally certified vendors to Anchorage to conduct demonstrations on all three of these systems, the precinct-based, the all-by-mail, and the hybrid system. We'll be there at the Hotel Captain Cook. We've also requested that they provide a demonstration of everything, a fully integrated system from ballot design through ballot tabulation on both of the systems. So hopefully determining what technology is available. It's been 20 years since we've had a look at voting technology, and so we'll hopefully further inform the policy group on what the options are for replacement. So the invitation has been extended.
You're making, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, let's hope we're out of here.
Please.
So just lastly, in recognition to recognize the need to replace our voting equipment, we expect the policy group will eventually make an advisory recommendation to the Lieutenant Governor this year. And once that decision is made, or we get the direction we need, we'll be conducting a full cost analysis and also identify legislative changes to Title 15 and potentially draft legislation. We like to work closely with this committee to, you know, to continue these discussions about our voting system, potentially throughout the interim, and beyond. So we realize, and taking a page from the MOA's playbook, is that, you know, they had a very strong outreach program, and I think is one of their successes in their transition to a new system. But really, before any new systems adopted or implemented, we will need to have a very strong community outreach plan, so folks, voters know, they have knowledge, and they understand any changes should they be made. But lastly, we'll need to go through a formal procurement process, and we did work closely with MOA on evaluating their proposals as they selected, and so we do have some knowledge about system requirements and things like that, that on both a precinct-based system and a vote-by-mail system. Presently, we have secured approximately $5 million to put toward a replacement system. Last month, we received $3 million in federal funding through the Help America Vote Act, and the remaining $2 million is a combination of existing HAVA, what we call Help America Vote Act is HAVA, existing HAVA funds and state funds. So we're ready. We just need to make a decision. But anything, I think most importantly for myself and our management team is, you know, we need to maintain momentum going into this 2018 election cycle. And, you know, any change to a system takes a lot of time up front and time to implement and you know, to execute something. So ideally, or preferably, we would have this replacement in by 2020. But realistically, we know there are going to be a lot of, you know, challenges ahead. But
okay.
With that,
very
take
good.
Any questions?
Thank you, Director. Question, Senator Coghill.
Only one, and I'm going to have to leave here in a minute, Mr. Chairman. But so the system that we have now and the methodology that's got voted in under the permanent fund, we got our feet on the ground. You're ready to go into the summer. You're going to be printing ballots. You have a primary coming up, a general election coming up. Things are in motion. We're not behind the curve at all. And we're cleaning up some of the things that happened that were question marks last go around.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, thank you. Yes, we're on track. We have, based on our evaluation in 2016, have made improvements to our election worker training. We have spent a great deal of time spending on maintenance of our existing equipment, replacing batteries, parts, and so and we've also secured some surplus machines should they go down on election day, that we have several on hand. We were able to get, I think, 25 from the state of Maryland. The municipality of Anchorage has provided us their excess memory cards for their units. So should those fail on election day, you know, we'll have a replacement plan. So contingency plans are being in place in any election year. You know, as a division, we've started in earnest our planning for the cycle, you know, in January this year. So
very good. Thank you, Director and Lori, for joining us today and bringing us up to date on the election process. Division of Elections does fall under the preview of State Affairs, so I don't know that we'll have many more meetings this year, but do appreciate you joining us today. And so if there's nothing else to come before the committee, thank you, committee members, and thank you, Director, for joining us today. We're adjourned.